That we are together. We are together. We are. Converging together in the shrine where there's only one, which is paradoxical, but we won't get into it. And let yourself be enveloped by the silence. Which is imbued with our friendship, with our togetherness. And then don't do anything at all. Give yourself over to the silence. And give everything to the silence that arises moment by moment. Which means don't make any effort. So the giving is effortless. You don't have to give the sound of this voice, it gives itself effortlessly to the silence, and it's the same with your breath. Every breath, every inhale, every exhale, you don't have to give it, it gives itself. But you are giving yourself to yourself effortlessly, moment after moment. Doesn't matter what it is that arises, doesn't have to be cleaned up. Every thought. You don't have to string each thought with the next thought anymore. They can sort of come undone, the thoughts, like pearls on a necklace that you cut. And the sensations of the body, they don't have to make up a cohesive body. You don't have to keep gathering your sensations back into a body that makes tactile sense. Quite the opposite. Let your body also come undone, not knowing or remembering or conceiving of your body. Just the sensation, temperature, texture, tension. And the silence. Let this silence be imbued not only with our friendship, with the kindness that brings us together. Let it be imbued by a quality of borderlessness. So that all the different layers of experience are little, like little fish swimming in an aquarium that is completely free of borders. Don't feel you have to try to achieve what I'm suggesting. Maybe my words just wash over you, or maybe they ignite the quality that they are speaking of. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. All is already perfect, and as it should be. Which means that if there's a feeling that seems to say that no, things are not as they should be, that feeling should be. It's very welcome. And maybe because you recognize that here in the shrine, it's easier. You can relax the usual resistance and say, yes, you're welcome. To whatever may seem difficult. You may even say, look, tension, feeling of fear or sadness, fear, I said it already, anger, agitation, all those kinds of difficult layers. You might want to say, look, you've got lots of space that you can be in. That you can swim in. That you can ripple through. That you can explode into. That you can sink into whatever the quality that arises. It's all possible. At some point, make sure you come back to sensing the silence and the borderless quality of the silence. So like sometimes you're like a mother who is taking care of her children. In this case, your children are the layers of experience that seem to be half surrendered, half held on to. And as the mother, you help surrender. You take the difficult feeling and you offer it, you cradle it into the openness. And then other times you're orbiting experience. You're not the mother, you're just openness. Your openness, loving openness, not so interested in experience. Maybe we could baptize that second mode, Shiva. The first mode, we could baptize Shakti. Really, you find yourself as Shiva, unless some difficult baby is crying out in your experience, and then Shakti arises to take care. By the way, this is not a correct use of those two words, so just a poetic use. Make sure you surrender the weight of the body. That would be a loving thing to do. You don't really need to hold on to the weight of the body when you're sitting in the shrine. You can experiment with letting go. Letting go of the whatever is held in the face, the mask. Just take it in your hands and place it in the openness. If you want, you can comb it out. As if your face was made out of strands that you can comb out into the openness. Your forehead, your eyes, your temples, your cheeks, your lips, your chin, your ears, your whole face. Your eyeballs. And also take your arms from your shoulders all the way down to your fingertips and place your arms in the openness. Bathe your arms with openness. Let them sort of relax deeply, deeply, as if you're pouring, permeating your arms with openness. And with aliveness, feel where your hands touch whatever they're touching, the temperature, maybe warmth. You can penetrate through the warmth, expand, dilate the palms of your hands tingling. Because we are saying, hi, you're allowed to taste the openness beyond. And the same with your legs, all the way from your pelvis. Feel your pelvis like a base, sort of root, a root place for the body, but it's sinking into the earth. The earth is not tarred, that's just a projection of the mind. Soft earth. And so your hips, your thighs, your knees, your calves, your ankles, your feet, your heels, your toes, the soles of your feet, your whole legs, emptying into the earth. Feel your whole body. And I know there's layers that are complaining, that are saying no, ouch, that are holding. Let that be like a sort of cacophony of sensation. That can scream and shout and do whatever as loud as it wants. Loud body, alive body. Layered body, human body, and yet also body of vibration, of openness. Weightless body, and yet as well. Body of density and suffering. Luminous body. And also dark body, shadow body. Don't feel you have to do anything with these words. Let them just be. They're just coming. Feeling the coming and the going of the breath. Let's just place one palm, doesn't matter which one, on your belly. Maybe both palms on your belly. And then just feeling the coming and the going of the breath in the lower part of the torso without manipulating the breath. The in-breath, feel the in swelling of your abdomen. And with the out breath, gentle contraction of the abdomen. Make sure your shoulders are completely empty and your elbows dropping. Just touching, listening to the coming and the going of the breath in the lower abdomen. Hello. No right or wrong. If it's painful and difficult, that's what's here. See if you can let the breath be free of the breather, just a wave of the in-breath and the out-breath. No pulling or pushing. Warmth of your hands. No reason to do this. Yes, and now feel one hand on your lower abdomen and then one hand a little bit higher up around your upper chest. And now listening with your tactile sense to the breath as it rises from the root of the pelvis all the way up through the belly to the upper chest. And then exhaling like a wave descending from the upper chest through to the lower belly and into the pelvis. Find your own rhythm. So here may be the breath a little bit elongated and still the quality of nobody breathing, just the flow. Smooth, even substance from beginning to end. If you know Ujjayi, you can apply Ujjayi, the filter at the back of the throat. Emptying the shoulders. The pause at the bottom and you receive the next in-breath like a gift. The pause at the top. Long, smooth out breath. Yes, and let your hands relax. Let the breath be natural. The legs, the pelvis, surrender to gravity, the arms, the face. Hello, body. We're not making demands. We're just gently exploring, gently listening. Slowly feel your back rounding from the lumbar area, lower back, middle back, upper back. Rounding the whole torso. And then feel a little flame of energy from the pubic bone. Very slowly rising up So don't activate the back body, just from the front of the body. Very sensual, a line of little flame of energy licking the space in front so that the torso is slowly elongating and coming back to vertical. Let it happen. Very slow, yes. Your whole front, the whole front of the torso, embracing the space in front. Top of the head hovering on top of the spine, the top of the head sort of grazing the ceiling. Empty the shoulders. Empty the legs. The legs are sinking into the earth. They're hanging vertically into the earth. And again, rounding the spine. Slow, smooth. Lower, middle, upper. You can let the head go a bit. No reason to do this, but the tendency to have an agenda will be coming to the surface, or maybe a sense of boredom, anticipation, a fear, a little creature, a little me creature that usually is so familiar and intimate and sort of chronic that you don't really fully taste it. But here, in the shrine of boredom, where nothing happens, but sacred boredom, you get to sort of taste these layers. Let them really surface. See them for what they are. They don't, we disconnect them from the thought that they usually come with, which is familiar enough, and just stay with the raw sensation. And we don't do anything with those layers apart from letting them really be felt. They really ripple through us, through our listening. Yes. And now again, feel your, this time bring your the top of your torso forward, so not from the pubic bone, but rather from the head. And then let the line of energy rise up, the whole front of the torso, sort of caressing the space in front. It might be very small. Don't have to become like rigidly vertical. More from the inside. Hello, body. Feel your shoulders learning that they're allowed to drop when they're in the shrine. Your face, like, melt. And now let the torso just move. But feel that you're sitting on like on one of those inflatable mattresses in the water. And so the torso is moving very, very slowly, because if you move too quickly, you might capsize. And if the lower body tenses up and pushes against the mattress, for sure, you'll capsize. You have to stay very connected to the totality. In fact, feel that you're not doing the movement, but rather you're being moved by the currents of the water. Very slow, your spine is taking shapes that you don't anticipate. It's rounding and making C curves. Your head is part of it, maybe even arching. No jerkiness. Liquid body. Torso might turn to one direction. Make sure the breath is part of the totality, my voice mingling with the sensation of the movement. And then let everything come back to stillness. In a way, you are the stillness and everything resolves in you. Empty everything out, your shoulders. It's amazing how the shoulders love to reassert themselves as a localization for the me feeling. Make sure the head is sort of floating on top of the spine. Make sure it can rest the way it wants to. Yes. Now feel. Make sure you have enough space so that you're going to feel your fingertips on the floor, on the chair in front of you, very alive, your fingertips, and then let your arms be airborne. They're rising up. Slowly, long, long arms. Weightless arms. They're just rising like magic. And they're resting on the horizontal plane. Feel very much in the fingertips, so not so much in the shoulders. And then let your arms slide on the space right and left, opening your arms. Big wings. And then what next? Let's see. What will happen next? I don't know. Right arm floats up to the vertical. It's carried by little angels that are flying at the fingertips, and so there's no effort. And the left arm is moving forward so that the right arm is fingertips touching the ceiling and left fingertips touching the screen of your computer. And the head turning towards the left slowly. Hello, hello. All the sensations in your shoulders and your hips and your breath. Let them be like birds that are freed from a cage. And now feel the whole body, the whole posture, and just surrender it to the openness all around. One global sensation. Yes, and then slowly everything melting, the head coming back, the arms dissolving, the breath. And as the arms dissolve, you're rounding the back. You're rounding the back. You're surrendering the shoulders. Make sure you allow your emotional body to also melt. Your throat, your heart, whatever is held there in your jaw and your mouth. Softening, because it can. Yes, and this little flame from the pubic bone. Don't do it, let it happen, licking the space in front, the torso rising. You're just that tactile openness that is tasting every little ripple. Feel the whole front of the torso. Very alive, the belly, the heart area, upper chest, the throat, the face. Touch of the air. The air is alive, so it's a real meeting between the body and the space in front. Back body is flowing down. And now the fingertips again, moving first on the cushion, not quite airborne yet, slowly touching alive. Is there a piece of glass there? What's the texture? And now they're airborne and they're lifted by the little angels. So there's no weight, long, long arms. They're grazing right through the screen. Settle them down on the horizontal plane. The thumb is vacant, but the other finger is very, very alive, not nervous, very alive. Empty the shoulders, empty the hips, drop the shoulders into the hips. And now the arms sliding on the space, smooth opening arms. Don't do it. Just feel it, taste it. Fingertips touching the walls to the right, to the left. You don't know how long your arms are. You don't have a visual. You don't have a memory. Let them be really long, going through the walls so they can touch the trees or the neighbor's house, right and left. Yes, and now it's the left arm that is floating up, falling up all the way to the ceiling. The shoulder on the left side is dropping into the left hip again. Back of the neck, licking the space behind. And the right arm sliding on the space forward. And let the layers that complain, let them be, let them surface, let them expand, let them radiate. Long fingers, long breath, in, long, inhale, exhale. What can I empty out? What about my hips? And the head turning towards the right side. Not too far. Don't create a doer. But at the same time, you can endure the complaints. They're just sensations, no psychology. Yes, and now slowly, slowly, everything melting. Take your time. The head, the arms, returning is just as much the posture. Melting the arms, and as everything comes back, the back rounds again. And if you're sitting cross-legged, extending your legs forward. If you're sitting on a chair, don't do anything with your legs. So if you have extended your legs forward on the floor, just really feel the back of the legs dropping into the earth. You might want to flex your left foot and push your left foot forward a little bit so that you're pulling your leg forward a little bit and relax. And then the other leg, flexing the right ankle, push it a little forward and relax. And then very slowly and smoothly crossing your legs again, if that's how you were sitting. And then again, the line of energy from the pubic bone rising, tracing a very sensual line, the torso coming to vertical. Welcoming the layers that usually in our everyday life we avoid at all cost. And they're always here. I mean, it's not necessarily a big, difficult feeling, but just a very innocuous, chronic. Me, the body, me, the not so happy body feeling. Behind the eyes, behind the forehead, it can be a little difficult there. So much goes on there. The thinker, the worrier. Or in the mouth and jaw area. And I repeat myself, but precisely don't try to change or get rid of anything. That would be such a violence. Imagine this mouth, this jaw, this forehead that works so hard on behalf of the human person. And then you'd want to get rid of the tension that results from working so hard. Just thank you. Mouth, jaw, forehead, shoulders, throat. Feel your heart area. And whatever, it might be numb, there might be no feeling, it might be very defended and or not, might be open, vulnerable, all these words, but really just the creature of the body. The soft animal of the body. Yes. And again, let the body move. Let the body be moved and feel it's being moved by ripples, vibrational ripples, something to do with the borderlessness I was evoking. Feel don't even feel it is being moved by the infinite. See what wants to happen now. If you don't get too involved, or if you get involved, but knowing that you are rippling with the infinite, see what movement wants to happen. The arms, the head, the torso, if the body wants to stand up. The eyes are closed, there's absolutely no right or wrong. The breath, the mouth, the face, the fingers, the hands. The emotions here, give them a chance. You might want to move big, be moved big. Trust what arises without having to conceptualize it. More like a feeling or an entity, a quality, and then you just allow it, you allow it to take a shape. It might not be pretty. Yes, and then you let it melt back to stillness. We just take little tasters, but it's nice to do that when you're on your own, if it's safe. If you feel that the space surrounding you is not sort of empty, void, but rather an extension of your body and the source of your body, and that it's completely free and open, and then you can just let what wants to arise, arise. Now feel the body coming back to stillness, a perfect stillness, but not a rigid stillness. Pelvis, like a bass, feel its volume, the hips, the legs sinking. You might want to feel your perineum, the place right between your genitals and your anus. Place your attention there, just listening. Often we are much more aware of the upper body, the head and shoulder area. So it might be a bit difficult to feel the area that I'm pointing to. Just say hello. Imagine a very, very fine channel of energy that rises from this place, from the perineum, through the center of your body, a golden, fine golden channel. So it travels up through the perineum, through the center of the spine, up along the spine, all the way up the torso, and then through the neck, throat, all the way through the head to the crown. And then just feel the breath flowing like a wave. The inhale flowing up through this very fine channel. The exhale, a wave traveling from the crown all the way down the center of this channel through to the perineum into the earth. Smooth, long, even substance. Find your own rhythm and explore the pause at the bottom. Explore the pause at the top. Different textures between these two resting places. There's no right or wrong, just exploring, exploring, tasting, saying hello. Very fine, the breath. Nobody breathing. So the shoulders are melting, the hips, the face. Yes, and now don't do anything, just let the breath be natural. Maybe you feel the vibration all around and you can give yourself over to the vibration, the silence. Or the kindness. Thank you, everyone. We'll take 5 minutes and then we can come back and be together for another half hour or so. Welcome back. Feel free to speak if you feel moved to. Just unmute yourselves, and it's a small group. So if you want to ask or share, or I don't know, recite a poem, scream. Yes, Doris.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question. I have been in a lot of pain in the last 2.5 months over a very severe rupture in my friendship with my best friend. And it might actually be the end of the relationship. And I feel a lot of guilt because what an action I did is what instigated it. But my question is, it's like pretty unremitting pain, really. And my question is, should I just allow it to be there? Because I grew up enduring. I endured my life, so I know how to endure. And I am now I'm enduring this pain, and that's familiar to me too. And I could endure, it seems like, forever. When I just wonder when.
Doris, what do you think the other option would be? Just, and I, this is not a, I'm just wondering if you think there's a, what do you forget about spiritual non-dual, like what would another option be
That's
apart from enduring?
right. That's the $64,000 question is let me think. Well, I mean, I don't know if you know about the Diamond Harp work. You know about Diamond Heart approach?
A little
Anyway,
bit.
anyway, their method is inquiry. So you you stay very embodied, and then you just stay in the moment and you wait to see what comes up, a thought, a sensation, whatever. And then you speak that to your teacher. And then the teacher has this facility to kind of help it unwind. And I know she'll ask another question, and that might lead to an insight, et cetera, et cetera. I'm kind of new at this, so I haven't had any luck with that yet. And so
Okay,
that's,
I get the sort of flavor of your question. First of all, I'm
yeah.
really sorry about your friend. It's funny because I recently had a difficult, something difficult happen with a friend, and we managed not to break up. So I'm wondering if there would be a way for you not to break up with your friend
Well,
first, because it's too bad to break up with a very dear friend. And if you've if there's a way for you to, well, it sounds like you may have done something to hurt her, and it sounds like you probably did let her know that you're sorry and all this stuff, but maybe really encourage her to stay, wrestle with it, wrestle, stay in relationship, and see if you can find the space to speak your feelings, and if she's angry. But why break up? It's such a shame.
Yeah, it's really painful. I did after a month or so, I did text her and I said I'm really
And Doris, I mean, we can't really get into the, you
oh, okay.
know what I mean? No, I don't want to interrupt, but we can't sort of get into the chronology of it. But
Yeah.
yeah, but carry on. I just wanted to.
I did text her and ask her if we could just be friends again, that I felt so bad and I missed her so much. And could we be friends again? And the next day, she put an envelope in my mailbox with my house key in it.
Okay. Wow.
So that's her answer. And she doesn't want to talk to me. And I consulted the I Ching, and the I Ching said, do not push it. Do not push it. So I feel like I made my move and she answered, and I just have to wait.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just try to provide something, because it's a big thing, you know, when a relationship, when there's something like that. And so you said you're enduring the pain. The pain is excruciating. And you said when you were a kid, there was pain, there was difficulty, and you endured it. And enduring is very different than the sort of invitation that I try to sort of put out here, which is not definitely not about enduring. Enduring is sort of harsh, and it's about, you know, you sort of brace and you sort of chin up, and you sort of and the feeling in question sort of gets crystallized somewhere in the body and also in the mind as a story, and it all gets a bit, or not, if not a bit, very difficult. So I guess I want to say that, first of all, a feeling is not a static thing. A feeling is a process. A feeling is alive. So as much as you can, and if you do have somebody, you can do the inquiry, because I think it's a very beautiful approach, what's it called, spiritual inquiry or emotional.
Well, it's Diamond Heart, and their main vehicle is inquiry.
That's right. Anyway, if you have somebody you can do that with at this moment around that, as soon as the feeling flow, and especially if they flow in the presence of a kind person, then there can be a kind of alchemy, and things can, you know, things move and things get, I don't want to say get better, but everything takes itself back to the source, right? So we're not meant to be free of suffering. It's the nature of the human life that, you know, relationships, death, loss, conflict, all sorts of things. But just make sure that you find a way for it not to be crystallized as this big old thing that you have to endure. You know, that's too bad. As a kid, it's too bad that many of us had to do that. And wow, you know, the resilience of a child or of a young person and of an adult. But because we have friends, because we have spiritual friends and or therapists or a place like this, it's, of course, here we can't sort of give you, there's not time to really, but I would really just encourage you to find a friend, a spiritual friend, and let it come to life, and take the risk of crying, of shouting, of, you know, whatever feelings, you know, they need out, and they need to be expressed. And at other times, the kind of quiet allowing, just of the raw, the feeling in the moment, not enduring, but allowing, it's a very different. Enduring suggests the presence of a separate self, that sort of, I'm the endurer and I'm carrying my burden. And that one needs to be welcomed too. That Doris that is enduring, she is made out of many, many, many layers of tension and contraction and beliefs and all sorts. So when you're here in the shrine or alone at home, possibly, but in a nice, with a nice feeling around you, just be with your body and your mind without trying to, don't think about what happened with your friend. Just be with the immediate experience of your feelings and sensations, and just let them be, let them surface, let them unravel, let them feel the kindness. Don't try to figure it out. Don't think you have to, just feeling, allowing.
Thank you.
And yeah, enduring is a very interesting word, and I think it points, that would be the main ticket item in this case. That one who endured, she needs to be welcomed. She must be pretty tough, you know, and pretty held, and she's used to carrying something and bracing herself, and so that level of tension needs to be allowed so it can relax. And when it relaxes, then possibly the emotions that are being carried by this endure will then begin to surface. And well, I don't think this happens only when we're alone in meditation. I think we need each other, and we need to sort of take turns, and sometimes it's one and sometimes it's the other. And so I I hope you'll find a lovely friend to do this inquiry with. And right now we're all sort of around you, Doris.
Thank you.
I hope that helps a bit.
Yes, thank you. It does.
Okay.
Ellen?
Take good care, Doris. Yeah.
Thank you.
Ellen, I have a question, if you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you. Yes. Loud and clear.
Good. My mom with advanced dementia is in the process of dying. And I find I have sort of dear childhood memories of my mom sort of pop up. And then I'm sad and I go into suffering. And my other alternative is when they pop up to just sort of drop them and go back to sort of the quiet presence, which of course then I'm more functional. But somehow or other I feel like I'm betraying my mom and our relationship when I do that. And I don't know the balance between, you know, going into something or I guess sort of maintaining, staying in the present.
Well, going into a feeling might be staying in the present. I feel like sometimes we have this sort of idea that we need to stay in the present and therefore not go into feelings or not allow feelings or not. I don't know where the balance is, and the balance will be organic. You know, in a way, life, I mean, sometimes life is out of balance, but that is the balance of the moment. And so I wouldn't worry about balance. Your mother is dear to you and she's dying and there's sadness.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'll emotionally with my feelings, I'll just sort of fall apart or something. And
I know, but and you know, we all have great fear of falling apart and losing control. And in a way, I think the great gift of these moments is that maybe we fall apart. We come undone. We don't know. We don't know if we're gonna make it. If we don't know if, and then we find out that we're okay. But that's called surrender in a way, you know. Because the one who's afraid of letting go, she has all sorts of ideas about balance and you know what would happen if I let go. I might lose my mind. I might lose my grip on my everyday life. Well, you might lose your grip for a few days. So what? I mean, I don't want to push, and I make sure you have some friends or.
No, mental health wise, I'm stable. I'm okay.
Yeah.
But do I go into all the suffering? That's the question. I mean, it's suffering. My mom is dying, and yeah.
Yes. It's not suffering, you know, like we, again, I feel like there's suffering in this life. You know, we lose beloved ones. We get sick. We separate from our partners. We, all sorts of things. We witness very difficult things in the world. It's not like we have a choice. So it doesn't have anything to do with your true nature. You know, your true nature, you cannot adopt the position of awareness. You're just Kate. And you know, we have to respect what is happening. And the suffering is just a label. How do you know that it's suffering? Feeling the sadness for your mother, feeling the memories, feeling the grief that rips you. Why reduce that to suffering? I mean, it's just another sort of movement of life. It's I mean, yes, it's grief, it's suffering if you want, but don't make suffering just an expression of ignorance, I guess is what I want to say.
Can you talk just a little bit more about that, and also about I was making awareness a state? I found that.
I don't know that you were, but I feel in your question that there's this idea that suffering is sort of wrong.
Because
it means that it's an expression of separation. When we suffer, we are back in the position of the separate self.
Right on. You got me.
Well, I don't buy that, because I think if we think that, and if we hold on to that as a certainty and as a belief, and as a we are actually for that's when we're at risk of creating the separate self. Suffering, you know, emotions, life is natural. And each one of us here our essential nature is awareness, and awareness is awareness. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to be that. We are already that. But each one of us is a wave in awareness. And look at waves in the ocean. When the wind is blowing, you know, the waves are rippling and, you know, I don't know, crashing. I don't know if my analogy works, but in other words, life will touch these body minds that we are. There's no way we can remain unscathed and sort of, no, we will be touched by all sorts of currents. And I don't know what else to say, because I could say something spiritual, like that's life. Life is a teacher, and life happens, and that's what teaches us, you know. Of course, if you were to indulge and curl up with your grief for an extended period of time, and, you know, then at some point you might wonder if you've gone to bed with your grief, you know, but it's not going to happen.
This is very helpful. So what you're saying is when one of those memories pops up on me, to just sort of allow it and feel it. And I guess in feeling it, it'll pass, basically.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't worry about being a good spiritual person who doesn't have memories and all this stuff. Be a bad spiritual person until you become a better spiritual person. In other words, it's because you're going to experience this process of grieving, of remembering, of thinking, am I, and then beginning to discern the moment where it's really an allowing versus a moment where it's clinging to the path, you know, but you have to go for it. You have to let it take you, and there will be a spiritual learning there. There will also be just the process with your mother. There will be all sorts of layers and levels, but I would say trust yourself, because you are clearly a truth lover.
Yes.
And trust yourself because you clearly love your mother, and she's dying. And trust yourself because you don't know anything, as I don't know anything, even though I'm spouting all this out, in the sense of we don't know what's meant to be the next moment. We don't know. So, but we certainly can allow each moment and try to, I don't know. Enough. But
thank
I hope
you. It's helpful. Oh, it has helped. Thank you. And I'll mute myself now so somebody else gets a turn. Thank you.
Is this your first time, Kath?
Yes. Yes.
Welcome. Thank you. Daniel.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question about Kundalini yoga. That's quite popular here in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
With the Kundalini activation kind of stuff. And I'm curious if you know, I've heard Hilka talk about how Kashmir Shaivism yoga has a different ideas about Kundalini and how that awakens. And I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I don't really have thoughts about that stuff, I'm afraid, Daniel. Do you have it? Okay. What are your thoughts about it? Like, tell me why? Why do you want to know that? Not that I know.
Yeah. Well, because I've heard.
You're hungry for Kundalini.
Yeah. Well, because I've heard that, like, I know that I resonate with kind of Kashmir Shaivism yoga.
Yeah.
So then when I hear some other things, it can be interesting. And then I usually talk with Hilke about it, and she's, you know, quite knowledgeable. So she'll say that.
She is. Look at her. She did.
Yeah. So I don't remember exactly what she said, but something about how there's a significant difference in.
The thing is that apart from Kashmir yoga, most yogas, but they're valid, and you should explore, really. That's how you'll get your answers, rather than conceptual, you know, a conceptual conversation. Mm-hmm. But the Kashmir approach, I think maybe Hilke was saying that it's the only approach we know where there is no agenda. It's the direct path, in the sense that it starts from, we take our positions as the borderlessness or the openness, and we just listen to the body, and there's no purpose. Whereas with the Kundalini yoga, I think it's really sort of activating energy and doing it in a very learned yogic way with the chakra. I mean, I don't actually know, so you'll have to go try, but it doesn't mean that it's not a good idea to, if that's, you know, I have to say, follow your desire. If that's attracted to you, it might be that you explore Kundalini, and it really gets you to feel your body, whereas with the Kashmir approach, because it's so slow and boring, you're in your head the whole time. Who knows? And then I don't know, what do you think, Hilke? What were you saying?
I don't really resonate with Kundalini yoga.
There you go.
But that's my resonance.
Exactly. I mean,
I'm not offering that to anybody to deny.
But Daniel, let's dig a bit just quickly, because we don't have that much time. But what is it about Kundalini yoga that, because that's interesting. There's a desire there. What's that? What do you want?
Yeah, I've read some, like, I mean, WhatsApp groups where people were posting about it, and they make it sound pretty amazing. Like, you have this activation experience and something about lots of energy. Well, you know how much I'm craving more vitality. So then I'm like, oh. The thing is, I have a fear which comes from my parents. I actually grew up in a yogic tradition that's kind of weird. Like, my parents used to always tell me that Rajneesh, like Osho, is a demon, and you should really watch out for all of these other gurus, because they're going to destroy your chakras. So maybe somewhere there's still this fear that, you know, if it's not the right stuff, that it could be really damaging or something.
Yeah.
So there's the fear, yeah.
I mean, your parents sound, I mean, God bless them, but that sounds a bit extreme. It sounds a bit like, you know, like if your parents were fundamentalist Christians, they would tell you, you know, stay out of mosque. If you go in a mosque, it's going to be like.
Yeah.
But so I guess you have to conquer that fear. I would say don't worry about that fear. I mean, just choose an average Kundalini yoga class. Don't go for the, I don't know, the weird, super fringy Kundalini with the amazing yogi that's, has CD, you know, just go for an average mainstream Kundalini class and give it a go. I honestly don't think you're at risk, and it might be interesting. And I wouldn't, don't feel you have to compare to Cash, you know, just explore, follow your desire. And I mean, it's interesting about how you grew up. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fear that might have been put there, as well as the desire to explore, and all sorts of contradicting things.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I don't know if that helps, but.
Yeah, it does. It's nice to talk about it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Likewise.
I think it's time for a poem.
Hello. I have a thought about the word suffer. You know, probably some of us know that in the Bible, it's used as, there's a line that says, Jesus says, suffer the children to come unto me, which means allow. And I just love that little maybe reframe of that word, you know? Just allow everything, like Rilke, you let everything happen to you, beauty and terror, just keep moving. No feeling is final, you know? Just, which comes right into, I read this great quote from Jane Hirschfield, the poet. She says, Zen, but she might have said a different word, but comes down to three things. Everything changes. Everything is connected. Pay attention. And, you know, I think it's all related. And then Mary Oliver, you know, this is our endless and proper work, you know, to pay attention. And I think that just one, again, you bring all these things up in me just to reflect on, Ellen, because, you know, you so often use the word agenda, like, you know, not that you say it this way, but let us be free from agenda, you know, all the while having the intention, you know, to be fully present. I thought, what's the difference between those two? They're both directed, but they're so different. Rather to, you know, to have our intention be even guided by intelligence and love rather than an agenda, you know, it's just so, you know, and anyway, this.
That's lovely. Thank you. You're tying every, you know, lots of strands together.
Well, and this is perfect then, this from Rilke. It's from Sonnets to Orpheus. And translated, I always have to say this, by Anita Barrows and Joanna Macy. Bless the spirit that makes connections, for truly we live in what we imagine. Clocks move alongside our real life with steps that are ever the same. Though we do not know our exact location, we are held in place by what links us. Across trackless distances, antennas sense each other. Pure attention, the essence of the powers. Distracted by each day's doing, how can we hear the signals? Even as the farmer labors, there where his seed turns into summer, it is not his work, it is earth who gives. And I think it is love who gives, or God who gives.
That's beautiful.
So we are cared for.
And thank you for that quote, that Jesus quote, suffer the children. That's just perfect for Kath and for Doris. I don't know if Doris is still here, but
yes,
it's so, oh yeah, there she is. So perfect. Oh, thank you everyone for being here, and Coco for your brilliance. Coco, and for your love, I mean, and really beautiful what you've just done, Corinne. Thank you. No meeting next week, but the week after. I'm going to do it them every other week now because I think it's better. But I won't cancel anymore. I noticed I canceled, well, last time my internet, but I think every other week is a better rhythm. Thank you for coming. And there's a Wednesday morning for the ones who are on the right time thing, but we're quiet mostly with a bit of breathing. Big hug. Bye. You can unmute yourselves if you want to hear. Thank you again, Corinne. Thank you. Thank you, Doris and Kath. And
thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Ellen. Bye, Ellen.
Good to see you again.
Bye, Len. Good to see you. Bye, Jenny.
Bye.
Bye, Andreas.
Bye. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye, Kira. Kyra out.
Thank you.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Bye, John and his friend. Bye-bye.
Marianne.
All right, did I say everybody's name? I think. Oh, bye, Maria.
Ciao.
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 Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Nico.
Ciao. Ciao. Thank you. Ciao.